Hey everyone, this is episode 52, Dating a Creative, and Ayana and I are going to jump right into it with the pros and cons of what that looks like. So make sure that you keep listening. Hey everyone, what's up Ayana? How are you?
How's it going?
It's going good. This week has gone flying by.
Really?
Yeah, not for you?
No. I mean, maybe the... No, it hasn't.
I've been super productive, actually.
I've been productive, too. It's still been a slow week. Today has been a slow day. I couldn't wait for today to be over.
I was already done with work, like, actual work at, like, 4:30. And I was just killing time. Like, I know I have to still be here because I got to meet up with Ayana. But, like, I was watching own episodes at work. Because I was like, I'm ahead. So I was like, oh, no need to like rush and do things that I could leave. That's a Friday thing.
So this is why your days were, this is why your week is
flying
by.
But it took a while because the last couple of weeks, I have been behind on work because we've had just the transitions that were going on internally. And it really took me for a loophole because I know when I can slack in my workflow, but only if I'm ahead, like I'm on top of stuff. Right. So once something wedges that, I get in a frenzy and a fluster because I'm already, like, antsy and, like, behind. My attention span is, like, no, not even behind, but, like, my attention span is. So, like, I give myself buffers to have, like, those slacks.
Okay, so this week was a buffer week.
This week was a super buffer week because it's just, like, all right, I caught up and now I'm going to stay on that path. And then, you know, next week I leave to DR. You're going to miss me.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Okay. Backtracking a little bit, this week has been, I guess the week has flown by, I guess, since you say. But this week we're in for episode 52, and this episode is Dating a Creative.
And we've spoken about, not the entire episode, but we have touched upon it. I don't feel like overall we speak about our
relationship. So you know what the crazy thing is? Okay, so how did we even come up with this topic? Carla, our social media manager, she like posted a question on our Insta stories one day and I saw it. And because you know, our Insta stories be going.
It be dope.
I saw it.
And I'm always participating. Like, and it's not our own page.
Right. And this came up and I like participated on the question, but it had me thinking like, yo, dating a creative. And I'm like, I know we've touched on it, but like really, we've had 52 episodes, right? Mm-hmm. So like we've touched on it, but I
a
feel
whole
like.
Whole episode dedicated? Nah.
And also, we don't talk a lot about dating in general, you know, like, I mean, not, you know, or anything along those lines. So I thought it would be really interesting for us to really like dig into this. And to your point, we are the creatives in the relationship. I mean,
well,
to an extent, right?
Yeah, because we have people with side hustles out here that they have a creative track, creative mindset to a degree. But also, I will preface with, God bless those that are dating. Because shit is a jungle out here.
It is Leslie, real.
Like, aside from dating a creative,
right,
dating
in general,
trying
to date. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, people in your standards. Yeah, people in your, like, new. Like, I feel like just social media gives, like, makes people feed off of, like, how other people live their lives, and they feel like everybody has to match that.
Yeah.
When before, there was just, like, you do what you want to do. Like,
yeah.
People shy away from how they really want to be and try to be who they think people want them to be, if that makes sense.
It does.
And it's just, like, you're not being your
authentic self. All these apps and shit and, like, it's just, I don't know what that feels like. I've been off the market for 6 years, so I have no idea what the dating scene is like. But it's a jungle for sure.
Like, I hear stories from people
mad
that I know
stories.
That are dating, and it's just, like...
It's hard. I feel so bad. Like, it's hard. I mean, it's so many different layers. It's hard when you're in a relationship. You have to listen to single people talk about how... You know what I mean? Because it's like, you can't relate.
It helps you appreciate.
It definitely helps. Like, you're like, shit, like...
I'm gonna figure it out.
Right, the grass is not always greener. I'm gonna just stay on my lawn and chill.
But people always say single people wanna be in a relationship and people in relationships wanna be single or.
I mean, so getting into dating a creative, okay. Mm-hmm. What would you say? Let's see how we can kick this off. What would you say are pros to dating a creative? And I'm specifically asking you because you are a creative and you date half of a creative. I'm gonna say half of a creative. Right. Because I feel like he's more, structured. Which is, I mean, I feel that way even though he's a DJ though. But I do feel like you're more like over here.
That's for sure. I would say, well, you saying like for me, how I am, like to how it is dating me.
Yeah.
Oh, I think, I'm not, I have a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm a person that has a lot of ideas and I'm always out and about. Because, okay, what I can say is that if you don't understand the lifestyle that comes with being a creative, then it's difficult. Because in my relationship prior, they seen it as like, oh, I'm always out. I'm always doing something. Mm-hmm. I'm always here. I'm always there. But it's like you have to be in these
like
different
Like you're networking. You're working.
Yeah. It's not like I'm here. Like, yeah, it is fun elements to it. Excuse me, but it's also like I'm trying to see.
It's a hustle.
Yeah, I'm out here trying to see who I could connect with, who I could pitch this idea to, who I can meet. Because, like, you know, everything's relationships. Mind you, speaking of events, I feel like we have not really attended as many in the last. Like, we really fell off. Like, there was a time events was everything we were talking about.
We was event whores.
Yeah, we was everywhere, but it got tiring. And we had to scale back because we was like, all right, what are these events really doing for us? Like, we had to really translate these events into something more productive. Mind you, you know, to some degree they helped and they put us in position to meet certain people, and
absolutely,
a lot of the people that we interviewed on the podcast was a result of that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, everything when it comes to like being a creative person and you are on the scene, it's not always like there's sometimes where you like I know I have to force myself to want to go to an event because I'm like I could just go straight home, I could go to the gym. It's gonna deflect me from other things that I'd rather be doing, but I know this is something I have to do. So even though it's a fun thing, but it's just like it's still like, you know, with a purpose to like get something out of it.
Yeah.
And so when that doesn't happen, it's like, do I really want to do that?
Right.
When the goal might not be met tonight, for instance.
Which happens
a lot of the times. So that is understanding that, I think, for me, like, you know, when it comes to how I operate, I'm very considerate of people. So, like, in all aspects, whether it's somebody I'm dating or, like, if my friends and plans.
Yeah.
So I try to do things, you know, accordingly, like, if I'm going to go to this first and then try to still make it to somebody's birthday. So I think you have to be somewhat organized with your time, or, like, be intentional with your time.
Right.
Because then you're going to be all over the place, which I can sometimes be too, because structure for me also is not, I'm not bound to that.
Yeah. Really. I think structure is a good part, but to your point, you were like understanding what that lifestyle is like. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I mean, with any relationship, but specifically communication, I think, when you're dating a creative, because you guys are operating on such different playing fields. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, speaking for myself, like, I date someone who is creative, like, because we all have some creativity to us, right?
Absolutely.
But who's super structured and very, like, you know, straight to the point and, like,
in
here,
the education field.
Right, very, like, over here and, like on a speedy lane. And I'm on this lane that's, like, dodging. Like, I'm doing all kinds of other stuff. Mm-hmm. And just, like, understanding what that looks like. Like, what I'm doing, to your point, like, going to events and stuff, like, my days are not just outlined. Like, it's not like, oh, 9 to 5, I do this. And then, you know, I get to come home. And like, right. There's so many things I'm doing that, like, I may not have time for you. Like, I may not have time to do, like, be home every night. Mm-hmm. I may not have time to just chill out. Like, it doesn't kind of work that way. You know, and obviously it's finding the balance. But I feel like, for me personally, my biggest issue is, like, or the biggest thing that has come up for me is, like, finding the right balance to spend the time and understanding that, like, me going out or networking is not just me having fun, or it's like I'm actually, like, working, I'm hustling, I'm trying to do something, I'm building relationships, I'm taking these meetings, and understanding that my workday is not Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
My workday is 7 days a week.
Well, that's what I'm saying with being intentional with your time, because I come very much for the cloth of, like, you have to make time.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So it's like, as long as people are not feeling neglected, and that's why communication is important, because mm-hmm. it's like, if you are feeling, like, tell me what your needs are, right, so that I know that I'm doing. Out. Yeah, I'm, because, you know, we're different people, so it's like,
for sure.
The way your schedule is different from mine, or just like.
And how we work. Like, you know, mm-hmm. we, like. We may like working at nighttime, right? Yeah, and exactly.
So,
like,
so I might not get be creative over there, like being in bed or whatever. I'm
right.
Like, I'm out here in the living room with the music on.
Working on this shit right here.
Exactly. Working on our corporate girls, because this shit is going to take flight. So it's like, you see these struggles. You see, like, I'm out here shooting in the gym so that it's I can own true. The gym.
It's true. So, I mean, I think that. So anyway, the point of this episode is definitely like highlighting what it's like dating a creative, and you know, we're gonna keep bringing it up throughout this yeah. episode, because we have a couple of different things
and
to talk
also
about.
Like in this conversation is twofold, like if you're meeting someone potentially and like what that could look like, because if you're going into it and that's not like an experience you have, like right. you don't know what that is, like see what you're setting yourself up, because depending whatever baggage and insecurities you're coming in with, if their lifestyle is gonna make you like tap into those insecurities, it could be something where you feel like there's not a compatibility. But it may not be that you're not compatible. Yeah, it's just that
you don't understand
or like you're not seeing it for what it is. Like you're thinking more about yourself rather than like how this person is in relation to you.
Right. And to and then what if you have two people who are creatives?
I like, think that's dope.
You just sat here and talked about how sometimes there's no structure. Sometimes, and two people who are creative in a relationship can be very interesting, because who's going to be the one?
Yeah, but I feel like there's an understanding at
but
that
But too
point.
Much of an understanding.
I don't know. I feel like it could work.
It can work. It absolutely.
But I see what you're saying, because it's like if the person who isn't is the one that's like, hey, making sure that the bills are paid, or like the one that's like, hey, have you
somebody
eaten?
Somebody gotta be.
Because you know, another thing with the whole creative thing is like being. I know, I am so habitual at this. Like, I'll be working on something, and I know I gotta start getting ready. But it's like I just want to finish this, so I won't stop. And it's like now I gotta rush. Because I wanted to spend 20 more minutes when I could have started getting ready.
Or forgetting to, like, eat. Or, like, mm-hmm. you know, just things like that. Like, you get inspired. You get so caught up in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, time kind of flies.
It does. It goes so quick.
But, anyway, we're going to get back to that. Let's mm-hmm. jump into a positive note. On a positive note, so you want to kick it off, because you went to the On the Run concert.
Yes, it was so good. Let me tell y'all my story for those who didn't tune in to Ida's Insta stories, because I definitely tagged her so that you guys can hear the scoop of how I ended up from section 300 to floor. Like I was floor seats for Beyonce and Jay, and it was epic. So basically, we got to the stadium. It was cool. Our seats were actually good. Like, I was happy from where we were sitting at. I'm short. So, like, floor for me, like, after the experience, I'm like, all right, I'm short. Yeah. I can't really sit down. It's cool, but it's too much. So, where we was at was, like, a little bit more leveled, like, up. We was in the 300s, but it was, like, you know, their TV screens were huge. Mm-hmm. So, it was, like, you could see good.
Everything, yeah.
So then the whole stadium is asked to evacuate, and we have to go to like where the concession stands are, because they see, I guess, the weather coming towards us, and it was not so much about the rain, it was more thunder and lightning. So they do not mess with that in stadium. So literally somebody came on the podium and was like, everybody start exiting. I thought it was a prank, because I've never experienced that.
Yeah, and how does a whole stadium
so think about all the people in their seats.
Oh my God. Because
this is already 8 o'clock. So
the show's about to start.
So now everybody's already settled. No, now everybody's getting up and making their way. It was like the most muggiest, hottest day in. And then think of all those people just congregated in the concession stands of each, like, level. It was nuts. I was sitting, like, on where you order food at, and the lady was like, can you please get down? I was like, can you please understand that this is not a normal situation? Like, I can't be meddled with these people overtowering me. Like, let me just rock. So, we're there waiting. we all decided to wait. It was fine. We met up, we bumped into some friends that were also there. It was me, my homegirl Ida, shout out to Ida, all things Ida on Instagram, Diddy, my good friend, and her boyfriend, shout out Justin. And so it was us four, and then we're just there waiting. They said it was gonna be maybe a 20-minute wait. It ended up being like maybe an hour before we got back to the stadium, but we was fine with it. So Diddy's co-workers were also at the event, but they were in the floor section, but they didn't wait. They was like, you know what? I'm not waiting.
Really?
We're leaving. Yeah, because they were like execs or whatever. So they were like, we're over this. So they sent two tickets to Diddy. They was like, you can have our tickets. So Diddy was like, I'm actually with my friends. So thank you for sending out. I'm going to go back to my seats with them. But then later on, I'll make my way down there. He was like, oh, okay, no problem. Next text. They sent two more tickets. So now there's four tickets for all of us.
What?
Yeah, so we all got four tickets. And Diddy, mad loyal, cancering.
That's dope.
Yo, she was not going to leave us. And she got the four tickets. So now, instead of going back to our seats, we make our way to VIP because that's a whole other process of how to get in there. So, you know, those tickets originally were scanned. So they were scanned, so they had the wristbands. They didn't give us their wristbands. So we're there trying to get in with no wristbands.
Oh,
so they're like, no, actually, this was already scanned. Like, you're going to have to go to will call. So, you know, we didn't give up just yet because we was like, we made it this far. Like, we're getting in. So we go to will call. It's already like maybe 8:30 at this point. Maybe closer to 9. We get to will call. Not even. It's later because... Yeah, it's even later than this. When Jay-Z and B actually started performing, it was 11:30 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah, so we got there a little bit before that performance. So I would say we got actually into the stadium around 11:15. So we go to will call. Will call is closed. But there's this lady that she looks like she was probably a part of will call. Like she was the one in it. But she was outside. Like it's raining, drizzling. So she's speaking to somebody. There was another situation. A lot of fuck shit was going on because of the rain. A lot of people left. Then some people were trying to re-enter. Once you exit the stadium, you cannot come back in.
Right.
So we had another set of friends that was with us, but they sat together. So one of them is pregnant. So we used that and hyped up this only story. Like, we all got into character mode. Was super dramatic. It was like, we was here, but our friend who was pregnant got sick, and she had to go. So we didn't know. They let us back in. We took off our wristbands because we didn't think we could come, you know, that the show was going to be continue or whatever. So the lady was like, don't worry. I'm going to walk. You guys are going to get in, but y'all have to wait for me like 10 minutes. I'm going to walk you over because she had like the walkie-talkie.
Right,
you know,
right.
She looked like operations.
She was official.
Yeah. So she was like, just wait. We was like, we waited this long. It's fine. We can wait another 10 minutes because whatever. So now she walks us along. And as we're approaching where the barricades are, like, because it cuts it off to make a line, a girl is like arguing with her man. It looks like he's already ahead in the line about to like go in. And she's trying to make her way to catch up. And she's cursing him out. It was like some boyfriend-girlfriend drama. She made it to where he was, snuffed him. He threw the drink at her.
What?
The security came and arrested him. Like, was attempting to arrest him.
Yeah.
And then she was like, no. Like, she got scared because now she sees what's happening, what she caused. She's like, no, I wasn't arguing him. It was somebody else. So now she's, like, convincing the people not to follow through with the arrest or, like, detaining him. It was whatever was going on. Like,
oh,
I'm seeing this. But in that very motion, like, me and my friends just walked. Like, nobody's no longer paying attention to us. The same people that was giving us, like, all this hoopla to, like, get in. Now they're the attention. So we walk right in. Mind
someone
you.
Someone created a seed for y'all that y'all didn't even know.
Yeah, it was God and divine timing and the bee gods wanted us to be in VIP.
Oh, my God.
So we go in and I'm, like, tunnel vision just trying to get to our section. But even though you get in through that area and you have the ticket, you still need the wristbands to get to your area. So then they call me like, Delilah, because I guess they stopped us. But it was to give us wristbands. I'm thinking like, are they sending us out? So I was like tight. But then when I seen we got the wristbands, everything was squared away. The lady, she had like some type of affinity to us because we clicked. And then I was calling her boss lady, like hyping her up. Like she just was feeling us. So she looked down. We thanked her. She went her way. And we went into the concert. We found our seats. And it was just the most epic experience.
What a night.
Like, when I tell you that Beyonce was in arm's reach, she was, like, right there. Like, right there. And they just did such a good performance. It was it was just so good. And I was around good people, like, to experience it with. And my own friend was like, if it wasn't for y'all two, I would have not pushed this hard. I was like, what? It could have been any situation. Just the fact that, like, there was an opportunity to try to get to that area. And we were, like, that close. I was like, yeah, like, we're going to finesse this. Yeah, I like, not this. Try. And I'm the finesse god. So, you know, I was not giving up that easy. So it was great. And I paid super, like, inexpensive. It just ended up being a good night. And all that to say that the two people that left, because the situation with the pregnant person was real, but not as bad as we made it seem. Like, thank God she was okay. But they were our ride home, and they left early. So when at the end of the concert, then we was like, how are we going to get home? So Uber was trying to charge $150. Like, you know, it was super inflated. Something but then we waited until the price went down a little bit, and then we ended up making it to Harlem, because then we had to get our stuff and our keys. It was just a crazy night. I didn't get home that night until 3 in the morning. Oh my God. The next day, I did not make it to work. I worked from home because I was like, nah, Beyonce snatched my edges, and I have to get myself together. But it was so good.
At least you have a story.
It was such a good story. I mean? I was like, we was in disbelief. We was like, is this really happening? Is this my life? Like, now I understand why people like being at that level. It's such a rush. It's such a different experience.
It really is.
But I think for me, like, it's one and done. Like, I'm good. I don't need to be there. And I don't even need to go to another Beyonce concert ever again, because that one, like, did it for me. I'd rather be in my seat up there where I can see and no elbow. Yeah, because it's just like, it's tiring. You be on your feet the whole time, because if you're sitting, everybody's standing. You can't see. So it's not like, I don't enjoy it that way.
Yeah. I mean, but I guess it depends. I mean, but you said she was in arm's reach, so who's in front of you?
Like, it's still in arm's reach, but like the way it is the stage. Then it's the ground, then there's barricades. Mm-hmm. Like, this, like, it's not like you can get to where the stage is. Right. So there's still that gap.
But no.
And then people's not sitting in their seats, so they're sitting on the side. Mm-hmm. So they're in front of you. Guys are taller, girls are taller. Like, and the seats are not the seats like when you're higher.
Yeah,
it's like foldable chairs. So like people's in your space. And I mean, I was drinking, whatever, but still, it's like, it was not the most comfortable. I was just like hyping in the moment, so I made the best of it. Yeah. And also because I didn't expect to be there. But now that I know what it is, I don't think I will pay for that.
Right, right. Like, I get what you're saying.
So, but it was cool.
Well,
so that's my positive.
That's exciting.
Right? Isn't that, like, crazy?
That's exciting. I'm like, my best friend also went to the same concert that you
went to.
My
sister, too. She went on Friday for her birthday.
So, that's exciting. Well, my positive note for the week is definitely not a Beyonce concert. But I did see your Insta story, so I felt like I was there. I saw everybody's Insta story.
And I was looking at everybody's, because everybody's angle and point of view is
so
different.
Oh my God,
right?
It's so crazy.
It's like you
saw the whole concert.
But you've seen 17 different concerts. Yes.
Just like that when the whole at Panorama with Janet Jackson.
Exactly.
So my positive note for the week is just pretty much that I've been on like this healthy
doing yo
kick.
Thing.
I'm just gonna say healthy kick. We're not gonna put any labels on that because you know things change up.
You like on a spree though. You're on a good spree. Because I be looking at her Insta story, she's like 5 o'clock in the morning running. I'm like, yes, I wish that could be me.
It's hard. But if she be texting me, you got this.
I'm like,
I got it. Yeah, I know.
Even went in the rain one day.
And
I was like, that's when I know this is dedication. Like, you are real about this one.
I've been trying.
This is a little bit more than other fads. In other sprints of yours.
Right, because you know how I get. I know, like, I definitely get a lot of fads. I do. So, yeah, but I've been on a healthy kick and stuff. But, you know, eating, working out more. But I think me and Delilah were talking about this the other day, though. Just because, like, you guys know, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you don't know. But we go through these, like, weird, interesting places of being corporate and non-corporate in our lives. So, right now, we're, like, corporate, but not. It's, like, weird. Being a creative and just feeling like having to fall into a structure every day and stuff, it's just been really like taking a toll on me. But I have to find other ways to like fulfill my soul and like be in a better place about it. So I've just really been like on this kick of like meditation, and not that I haven't before, but you know, just like trying to like really stick to it. And positive energy, and I know you have as well. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, really like doing things that feed my soul. Yeah. So like, you know, waking up in the morning sucks, but I like the way I feel after. So it's just like figuring out that, you know, the pros and cons of it all. So that's just been my thing. And it's been hard, but it's been working because, you know, I like the way I feel mentally, like not even physically, like just feeling like I'm putting myself in a different place every day. Right. It's a constant work in progress. Mm-hmm. But every day I feel like, you know. Yeah. And the janitor in my building this morning was like, every time I see you, you make me smile. So I was like, who, me? Really? And he was like, yeah, you just seem so positive and full of light.
Look at that. You see? I'm just like, radiating. Right?
I was like, well, I try, you know?
I try. I cannot.
So, yeah, so whatever. Anyway, moving right along, a hustle spirit. We are super, super excited that we have a contest for the month of August.
It's been lit too.
It's been lit, right? I don't know. We gotta pick a winner. But either way,
Monday when this launches, we will also share the winner.
Okay, so you have a couple more days tag yourself, tag your friend, because we're picking one lucky person who's available on August 24th at 4:30 to join us at the Rosé Mansion for some Prosecco.
Yes. Oh, and you know what? You have more than time, because we actually have one more week.
Oh, so it's the 17th, right? Okay. Yeah. So, tag your peoples.
Yes, keep tagging people. Make sure to subscribe, because you have to do all three steps. Don't be over here half-stepping the contest. So we made it real simple. Just like the picture, subscribe, and tag one of the homies. That is all you have to do. And you can win a date to chill with us, you know, sip rosé, take some flicks, get your Instagram popping, look cute in a cute outfit. And it's going to be Friday in the city. So, yeah, that should be a good jam.
Super, super, super excited about it. Mm-hmm. And I figured out what I'm going to wear to incorporate pink since you were on this pink cake.
You know what I mean. I love
pink. Moving right along, off the record. So, you guys, I don't know if you guys know, but yesterday, August 7th, today is 9th.
Day before yesterday.
So August 7th was Black Women's Equal Pay Day. Mm-hmm. And, I just, you know, obviously we're sharing it, one, because we're women, but two, I'm just still confused that, like, why are these still, like, conversations that we need to have? Like, why are Black women making 38% less than a white male, to $1 to a white male? And when you really break that down, what is that, like, 60-something cents, and then the white woman's making 74 cents, and then Latina's making 54 cents?
Yeah, it goes down.
I'm like... Why is this even?
Yeah, between this conversation and the conversation of first, I still get tight when they're still first of anything. Like, we should be invading every space, every, like, I'd just be so over it, because I'm just like, there's absolutely no reason.
And it just reminds me of that episode of Insecure, which I'm so excited. What I had to do. This is gonna be an off the record thing. What I had to do to get HBO to fucking watch this shit off.
First of all, I read a meme. I sent it to all my group chats. It was like a PSA loud out here, and it reads, surviving in New York requires like two jobs and a little fraud on the side.
Facts.
So I'm sure you did something fraudulent to get the HBO or something. No? Maybe? It don't matter. So you got it. We gonna watch Insecure when it drops. That's like the show of the summer besides Power. Right. I've been watching.
Right.
However you get it, you get it.
Fact. But I was gonna relate to the episode of Insecure. Remember when Molly found out about her like white coworker with the whole
money thing. Didn't she end up quitting that job or she left?
I don't know.
I forgot how that played out. But
I don't know why we forgot, but...
I don't know, because I'd be watching so much in my brain. But I know that she was, like, contemplating how to approach it. Like, a lot of the scene was like...
It was definitely a conversation.
It was uncomfortable for her to be like, how can I address this without looking like the mad Black woman?
And also disappointing, though. Like, you do so much work. So this isn't our everyday lives. This is what it is. But anyway, it was Black Women's Equal Pay Day. So we just need to acknowledge that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, we need... Oh, another thing that I read. I forgot where was it... I think, somebody that I follow, they were at a conference. Oh, shout out to Sade. It was Sade. She was at a conference. And, you know, when you're at a conference that people are saying, like, key things. So, like, she did a boomerang and then quoted one of the panelists. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they said were, ladies, stop having conversations about who you sleep with and, you know, children and this and that, and let's start having more conversations about what we're getting paid and how we're spending that money and how do we save money. Because, you know, a lot of the disconnect between us and men, or like a stereotype, is that men are money makers and women are spenders.
Yeah.
Like, we're not as good with money as men. And it's like, that should not...
Which is not true.
Which is not true, or should not be the case, because we should also have our own knowledge and comfort with finances and how that's managed. But also, we should be discussing with each other, whether it's within your same, like, your group of friends or in the confines of, like, the work environment, like, being more open to putting a paid conversation out there so that people know that they're not getting knocked on the head.
And this is, like, remember back, like, I don't know, one of our episodes, we kind of touched on talking about, like, what it's like being with, like, a crew. Yeah, like, I guess, I don't even remember the context, but, like, at a certain age or a certain level in life where we don't just talk about, like, gossip shit and, like, you know, like, that's still, you know, everyone want to talk about whatever, but we actually talk about real conversations.
How to level up.
Right, and, like, how to, like, and, like, honest stuff, like, whether it's, like, I'm not making the amount of money I want to make, whether it's, like, I have a kid and I'm really depressed and I don't know how to be a real, like, being a mom, it takes a lot, like, whatever it is.
Shout out,
like,
to Serena, actually, in the article that she wrote on Vogue with postpartum depression, like, and Cardi as well. So for all those moms out there that are listeners or people who know moms or are newer moms, be support to them, because they go through a lot of emotions, especially being a new mom, where although you know this is something you might come across, it's so different when it actually happens to you. Like, there's no real way to prepare for it. So and to speak to that point,
it's hard.
Like, it's hard as shit. I mean, it's hard for people without kids. Imagine when you have kids.
No, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, straight facts. But I'm just saying, like, that goes back to, like, being support, having a support system, and being women who, you know, want to actually talk to each other about these serious conversations. These are serious conversations that need to happen.
It's true.
Another thing that I loved this week was Blavity's roundup on Afro Latina influencers.
I didn't get to read the article, but I was so happy that it's there. It's in my docket.
It's so, but it's just like, I feel like nobody gives love to Afro Latinas. So
you don't think so?
I feel like it's so far and few.
I disagree, but I feel like when it's categorized as Afro-Latina, because that's a very new term. I'm getting acquainted with it.
I
feel like there has been highlight on women of color, but I feel like with this whole new wave and, like, social media millennial and, like, embracing or coining certain terms to, like, give us a space, I feel like that has been more the subject, or has at least been people been proactive in, like, putting that in front street more and more, which is great.
Agreed.
It should be done.
Agreed. And I'm happy that that's happening, though, because you know, there does need to be a highlight on it, at least something, because there's so many Afro Latinas who are doing popping stuff, and Blavity did a roundup of a
who
good
were some of the people
of them. So Janelle was on there.
Janelle Mooney.
No, Janelle, I ain't Latina.
Oh, so these were, like, our round the way.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
oh,
we should have been on there. That was another thing.
Missed the mark a little, but we're not gonna come.
We'll catch the next one. Blavity.
Yes,
Well, Blavity /2190, because really it was on 2190, but whatever. So moving right along. Speaking of Uber drivers,
I'm a very I'm pro, not even pro Uber, I'm just pro the share rides.
Gonna say Uber, Lyft, whatever.
I'll do Lyft sometimes more even than Uber, because Uber be disrespectful at times.
They do.
Like, they be canceling rides and doing whatever. But Uber and Lyft compared to yellow cabs and the trains at various times,
I don't even know what it's like to take a yellow cab. Like, whenever, I have one friend who always takes yellow cabs, and it's
do they live
different
in the city?
Yes,
exactly.
And that's I get it. But every time I'm with her, I'm like, so we're gonna order a car, because, like, why am I waiting? Why am I hailing something?
Exactly. First of all, me and my friends, we were speaking in the group chat about all the reasons why Uber needs to stay, because yellow cabs are freaking disgusting. They stink. Their customer service most of the time from drivers
sucks.
Are yes. And they're expensive. Races. Yeah, they overcharge their races. And then also they limit it into the destinations they want to take you to. Why you don't want to take me to Brooklyn? Why you don't want to go uptown to the Bronx? Why you not trying to take me to Dykeman? Like, this is where I need to go. So, and another thing my friend pointed out was that when you are a mom or you're coming from doing groceries or shopping, at least Uber comes to where you're at and you could just go in the car.
Yeah.
Imagine you hailing a cab with a freaking carriage and a baby in your arm.
Yeah.
Like, that it's sounds just, crazy.
It's convenient.
And it's like, I'm too good for that.
I don't know what it's like to take, my life is Uber and Lyft.
I love it.
My life is Uber, Lyft, and I'm up on others. I'm up on whoever. Whatever shit.
Give me a
ride.
Good price, get me home.
Like, right.
Even if I have to take the, you know, share a ride with Kevin or whatever.
Or Maggie.
Maggie going to Soho. All right. It's on the way to Williamsburg Bridge. I got you, Mom.
I was just going to say this. I stayed at Uber Pool. Okay?
I stayed at Uber Pool because that's $6 to cross the bridge.
Ain't no shame in my game. And when I look at it, I'm on 59th and you want to take me to Brooklyn for $10? I'm gonna do the hour ride. I'm cool with that.
I call it the scenic route.
And I'll be working on my phone. I'm always doing something. It don't matter.
I have my headphones on. I don't be. And sometimes, most of the time, I'm in that car by myself. In a shared ride, but
I mean,
don't pick
you just be like, you look up, like I mean, I be coming from Queens.
If it's over 13, I'm usually not in it because I'm like, yeah, I know I can get this cheaper, like because I've ridden for like $6, $4 even at some time.
Shit, I've had,
and I'm like to not take the MTA that might not come.
Yep. And not standing on that hot ass platform.
Yeah, I know the struggles. Yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from. So I'm just a little bit upset with this freaking cap. Right. And then out of all cities, New York City is the one that wants to implement it. Like, come
fucking
the fuck
New York.
On.
So, like, do we know when that's going
to
happen?
So when I read the article, it said that this is going to be, like, for one year to like, kind of see what,
like if
what
it does,
distress
yeah.
it does or improvement it creates. This shit ain't gonna prove nothing. And the fares are gonna... I'm gonna see now when I get... Like, in the next few weeks, I'll check to see the price. Because the effect to us as consumers is that the price is gonna be hyped on Uber and Lyft.
Yeah, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. But... So, backing up into relationships again, but this time kind of on another note. You got a new show that you want to talk to us about?
Yeah, so this, I have been obsessed. This has been in rotation to have to be watched for a while now, but I haven't gotten
Same.
Around to it.
And I haven't gotten around to
and,
it.
And my friend brought it up again, and I was like, oh my God, let me watch it. So I literally have been, like, glued. I think I finished in 3 days, and the episodes are, like, super short. Like, some are, like, 20 minutes or 25, and then some are, like, 40 minutes. You can catch it on the OWN app. If you have, like, whatever TV service, you just log in. It's called Black Love on OWN.
It's gotten rave reviews. Rave reviews.
When I tell you I have teared, I have laughed, I have sympathized, I have empathized. Every emotion you could think of, because these are real, like, it's literally black love.
Yeah.
And it just... It shows differently in how we operate, like what we come through, where we come from, what we've been through. It's super inspiring, and it's I don't even know how to explain it. Like, it's inspiring, but it's eye opening, and it's just like a little bit. It gets you down a tad bit, like
Why?
It gets, only because it's just like fuck, like. Everybody should be fucked up before it gets good. And it's like
Slight,
everybody's
though.
I know, but I read a quote or like a meme about like why do we have to condition ourselves as women to like withhold all the bullshit, withhold all the nonsense, like go through it to then like reap the benefits. Like, right. You know, when you hear like these success stories of great relationships, it's like, oh, but this is not how it always was. It went through shit. And most of the time, it's shit that the guy has done. Like, yes, in some of these instances, some women were cheaters. But it was almost directly always because of the shit that the man did to her.
Right, right.
And, like, I feel like as women, we give so many chances and opportunities. Like, we love who we love.
Yeah.
And most of the time, we're willing to stay. But as long as you know that you have the option to not have to stay, that's empowering. But also the fact that you do stay, you have to deal with all the consequences that come with you staying. Yeah. It's not going to, like, sever overnight. It's not going to patch itself up in a couple of weeks. There's still going to be those triggers that bring you back to that ugly place that you're trying to walk far away from.
Yeah.
But it was just so real and honest and raw. And when you look at the relationship examples you've seen growing up or the ones you're currently in, it just helps you to be a little bit more understanding or have patience, but understand that what you feel is real and, like, what you're going through, it's not just you going through it. Like, there was examples from people who were married, I think Hestra has a year or 4 months, and people who in the show were married for 70 years.
Right.
So it gives you all spectrums of different scenarios as far as, like, who's the celebrities, what, like, the professions mm-hmm. are, and just the different characters of people.
You know, like, I was just like, and because I've obviously seen previews and mm-hmm. it's on my list, obviously. But you know what I think is so interesting about the show and just, like, hearing their stories and stuff? Mm-hmm. It just makes you think, like, I don't know if you felt this way or people out there felt this way, but growing up, you always have this idea of, like, if this ever happened to me, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to handle this. This is how I'm going to do this. And it's just like, as an adult, like, I can honestly say as an adult, because I'm an adult, mm-hmm. I can't call shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Because if God forbid something happens, like, you know, you with someone that cheats or this happens or that happens, if you, to your point, if you do make that choice to stay, that is, like, a choice. You know what I'm saying? And that's a hard choice to make. But it takes a big person to do that. Mm-hmm. Just like, I forgot what we were talking about, like Rashida on Love & Hip Hop. Like, it takes a big person to forgive someone. Like, these things. And I think Gia said it. I know I'm bouncing around, but I know Gia said it on the podcast when mm-hmm. we did that live taping for the Black Girl Pod. She was talking about her parents and how, like, mm-hmm. it's not just black and white. Like, these relationship issues are very gray.
And a good thing that I took away so many things from these episodes, but one thing that, like, stood out was Megan Good's relationship. She said when she had left, when they were married, she was cooking all the time in the beginning or whatever. Then she left for, like, 6 months, and she was really exhausted. It was, like, for a job or whatever. Mm-hmm. When she came back, she was like, I didn't want to do nothing for 6 months. Like, I was just so exhausted because, like, it was 18-hour days, blah, blah, blah. And she started realizing how, like, certain attention she wasn't giving her husband at the time was, like, affecting him or whatever, but not, like, to a point where it created distance. It was just, like, she was aware of certain differences that, you know, when you start something or you make somebody used to something and then you're not doing it, it can cause tension, right? So she was like, they came to an agreement of what reality looks like for them in their relationship and their marriage. And I think that's a huge thing to, like, take into account, that what works for you and your relationship is for you and your relationship. It doesn't matter what your friend and her marriage is doing, like, that's what works for them. So I think it teaches you not to be judgmental, and also it reflected back to the whole Rashida post, because when we were gonna put her up as a Woman Crush Wednesday, I was which is I'm obsessed with, I was almost a little bit hesitant, because I was like, is that the example we want to give, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I saw myself judging someone else that mm-hmm. that could have easily been me, because mm-hmm. you love somebody, you take some of their shit because of the fact that you believe in them enough to think you could get passed through it, or that they're gonna take accountability and do better, because people are gonna hurt you. That was another thing that they mentioned, like, the people you're with, friends, family, loved ones,
everybody will disappoint you. Yes.
But it's just how you come back from that and how you make the other person feel in that hurt.
So
oh, guys, watch,
like,
that show.
Those are some good lessons you pulled out, especially, like, I think all three of those were so good. Like, I can so relate to that, but especially the every relationship looks different and you get to decide that, because I feel like I've been, I go through a lot of that, like, just kind of, like, thinking what people think it should be and what it really is and what I want it to be.
Versus what it really is.
Right.
And so then goes all those, that's, like, a lot of different dynamics.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so real. So, guys, like, I think I leave with you to, like, whoever.
I'm checking it out, like, tonight.
Please do. Like, whoever's in a relationship, be in your relationship.
Yeah.
Like, you know, choose your battles, respect your partner, show them affection, like appreciation. In one relationship, which was a marriage, and they're very solid, it was about still saying thank you and please, and like, I appreciate that you did do the dishes, or I appreciate that, like, you know, just
like you have, to love people the way they want to be loved. Like, that's really what it comes down to.
And being understanding. So like, for those who are in a relationship and you feel like it's in a rocky place or whatever, it's just like remembering what made you love them, you know, going back to the basics and simplifying things, and just knowing that it's your relationship, it's unique, and keeping things in-house. Like, all these other opinions and outside things really don't matter, because the people that are going to sleep together at night is going to be you too. The two people that's going to fix the issues that come your way is going to be you too. Right. I think once there's an understanding that you guys are the partnership and the team, because then that's another battle too. If you don't feel like you are a team, that can cause things to feel like not solid. So once you get over that hump, when it's already good in a good space, then those are the things that will matter. It just watch it. It's on own. It's already on demand, so you can watch them all at one shot. So good.
I'm gonna watch it. So real quick, we found this cute article on Cosmopolitan about 17 things you should know before dating a creative type. And like, some of the things that they pulled out was, she may leave the dishes piled up in the sink. And going back to the whole Meg and Good thing, like, you know, like sometimes, right? Like, everybody's not, like, just because you feel like I may not have a 9-to-5 or whatever, doesn't mean I'm like a maid and I'm not doing anything either.
I'm tired. So maybe tonight.
Tired.
Even though in a Latino household, we know that we do not leave dishes in the sink overnight.
We don't, but that's it's a pet peeve of mine, but whatever. Anyway, let me see something else. She will evaluate your gifts based on how much thought you put into them. But I don't know, why is that one?
I don't know. She will evaluate your gifts based. Oh, I see what they mean. Like, because a creative is thoughtful and very, not even particular, but like, they do things above and beyond. So it's like, if you're not coming from that perspective of where things that you know that she likes or he likes, then it comes from like, even if it's a small thing, it's about the gesture and the thought put into whatever it is.
She expects you to take an interest in her projects.
Duh.
Right, because that's all she's
going to talk about. And so freaking listen.
Even if they're not totally your thing, don't put them down.
Like, you cannot really care for it. It might not be your passion, but her passion should become, like, she's your passion, right? So what matters to her should eventually, which in another example, this is so funny. So I forgot what's their names. He's an actor, but him and his wife, they have a rule in their relationship, and it's the 5-pass rule. So you get 5 passes in a year where if, like, let's say I invite you to an event, you don't want to come, you could pass on it. No questions asked. But if you do decide to come to this event and it's not something that's your cup of tea, you have to be fully engaged.
Okay.
So it's like, you can't be at the event, be on your phone or like just sitting out. Like, you have to be there because you chose to do this for me, or I chose to
do this for you.
I love that.
That's true.
So that was cool.
And I think the biggest one out of this whole 17 things is she has ideas. So many ideas. Because we can totally relate to that.
Yes. And some of them might sound crazy. And they might sound like, but where are we getting the money for this? And, you know, but don't shut it down like that. Just be like, you know what?
First, I think you should be open.
You could simply kindly tell, like, how about you finish the other 10 ideas that you had first, honey? And then we'll get to these others. Like, you know, let's write them down. Let's save it for later.
Right. But don't shut my idea down.
Like, we can't do that. Like, you two over there. Like,
right. Because I'm going to feel some type of way about it.
I'm gonna be salty.
So anyway, that was a cute little article because, you know, we're really all about, like, what's it like dating creative. But closing out, we need to jump into hashtag obsessed with. And this week we have two founders who are creative souls themselves, entrepreneurial friends, Meg Hay and Nina Fallhaber. And they are the two, they're the co-founders of A Day. And A Day is a label for women who are going places professionally and physically.
That's like a non-corporate girl.
So I don't even know if you remember this, because when we were talking about making them a hashtag obsessed, you was like, oh, like, remember those girls, whatever. But do you remember when we first, like, we went to an event for them? Do you remember this?
I know I went to their launch. They had, it's called the White T-Shirt Project.
Yes.
And I went to their launch for that.
Yes, yes.
And that's how I first was introduced through my old job, because they were sending like event stuff. And I was like, oh, let me check this out. And it was so super dope. And back when we first started, we had the founder of Bare Minerals was our obsessed with.
Yeah.
And the reason I even was introduced to, like, it all came full circle because she is part of investor in this brand. But I don't know how you came across a day.
Because we went to an event.
But I don't remember. Together?
It was at Rebecca Minkoff.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
They were there. And it was with another group. I want to say Six Degree Society, whatever.
See, I didn't go to that. That was you and homegirl.
Oh, Brittany.
I missed that event.
Okay. Yes. I was like, no, we went to that. Okay.
I remember. But, so we went separately. We like got introduced to them separately. But we both fell in love.
Oh, my God. Because when I saw them, we were like, oh, my God, this is a non-corporate. Do you remember like on one of our first episodes, we were like, oh, we want to be like brand ambassadors.
Yes, because they literally speak and align with our messaging.
Yeah, like, they're super dope ladies. And
their clothing is still popping.
So popping. And I love that they were in finance and they left finance and they were in London and they like literally picked up and moved to Soho like with their business. And
Lisa Bloggett, that's her name. That's who is the founder of Bare Minerals. Y'all know I'm so bad with memory and stuff.
But like that.
I don't have to say her name.
I love it. So anyway, if you guys are not familiar with them, check them out. Like, me and Delilah, we're always, like, looking at new brands and stuff like that. And I'm, like, the queen of newsletters.
Yeah, she really is.
And so I'm always getting, like, new products.
But, yo, newsletters are clutch because they give you, like, ideas. Yeah. And they help you with, like, what, I don't know. They just help you with, like, creative stuff. So
check them out.
Do that.
Dope ladies. And on that note,
we about to be out because we chatted a while with y'all.
We did. We hope you found some value in this. And
follow us on Non-Corporate Girls on Instagram. Subscribe to our website. Stay tuned for this episode. And we out.
Bye. Thank you for tuning in to episode 52, Dating a Creative. Check us out next time for episode 53, where we'll have a special guest. Can't wait to share with you. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Ayana_Aya_brand, @MissDelilahC. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter. Tune in next time.